Corporate Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Lenten Health. We're continuing our series on how to fast from falsehood and give up the lies holding you back from the life God wants for you. Tired of that inner critic? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we are continuing our Lenten Health series. No, not the bean, like mental health, but for Lent,
that's right,
where we are fasting from falsehood, giving up the lies that hold us back from the life that God wants us to have. Are you tired of that inner critic, that little voice in your head, in all of our heads, that says that things will never change, that you can't do this, that you don't deserve to be respected, accepted, loved, forgiven, healed, or made whole? Whatever those voices in your head are saying that are holding you back from God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, or the life God wants you to have, let us help you fast from falsehood this Lent and give up the lies the enemy is using to hold you back from the life God wants for you. The number to call is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that some of our listeners might be saying, I wish I could fast from the falsehood of all the liars in my life. And I think that that's an important thing to feel, because it's one thing to find out that somebody has been false with us in some way, betrayed us, told us some form of a lie, whoever that is in our life. But where the real battle comes in with that is that Satan uses that other person's shortcoming to attack us and saying, see, you can't trust anybody. See, you're not a good judge of character. You really deserve to be treated that way because you didn't see it coming. So whether it's the stuff you're going on in your own, that's going on in your own heart and mind about all those things that Greg was saying earlier, or if your gut reaction is, I wish I could get rid of that person's lies, but it's eating at you. It's depleting you. We're here to help you fast from all of that falsehood during this Lenten Health episode, but also to get it out of your life, to become the person that God is calling you to be, not the person that Satan wants you to believe you are or the things that he says you deserve, but to really be that person that God created to love him, to serve him, to represent him here on earth, to know his love and his forgiveness. This is a time to do that. Perhaps even you're just hearing those desolations of, yep, we're this far into Lent and you're doing it all wrong. You're falling short. Whatever that is that feels like it's gnawing at you, that's depleting you in some way, we're here to help give you brand new tools, connect you with God's grace and God's light in your life so that you can get out of that darkness and find that resurrection that comes at the end of this Lenten struggle for you, that Lenten health that you deserve to have and that you're longing for and that God wants for you. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, as Christians, we know that that voice of the inner critic, or any impulse, any desire, any thought that separates us from God or makes it hard for us to be the person God wants us to be is not just an inner critic. It is not just our voice. It's not just some random thought. It is the voice of the enemy whispering in our spiritual ear, pulling us away from God's grace, from His love, from His mercy, and from the life God wants us to live. And it's our job as Christians to take those thoughts before the Lord and ask Him to help us learn how to fight back against those thoughts. In fact, last week Pope Francis spoke to the idea that the Christian life is a battle against the spirit of evil. He gave a Lenten homily where he said that Christ's entire ministry, this is a quote, is a struggle against the evil one in its many manifestations, healing from illnesses, exorcising the possessed, forgiving sins. It is a fight. He goes on to say, every year at the beginning of Lent, this gospel of the temptations of Jesus in the desert reminds us that the life of the Christian, in the footsteps of the Lord, is a battle against the spirit of evil. He went on to say, it shows us that Jesus willingly faced the tempter and defeated him. And at the same time, it reminds us that the devil is granted the possibility of acting on us, too, with his temptations. According to Pope Francis, quote, we must be aware of the presence of this astute enemy who seeks our condemnation, our failure, and prepare to defend ourselves against him, to combat him. For the grace of God assures us with prayer, faith, and penance, our victory over the enemy is assured. The idea that this inner critical voice, these negative thoughts, are not just our thoughts or random thoughts, but thoughts from the enemy, could be a little scary for people. I don't mean to, you know, kind of get you caught up in that sort of oogie boogie sort of, you know, spooky thing. It's not about that.
This is not like a bad, scary movie.
No.
This is the reality of our spirituality that we know we can overcome because of Christ Jesus.
Well, because of baptism, we already have the victory.
That's right.
You know, coming against these thoughts is not some, you know, battle scene from The Exorcist. It's a simple waking up to the reality of God's grace in our lives. We don't have to fight this fight. We just have to place ourselves in God's arms and let Him chase away the evil thoughts that the inner critic whispers in our spiritual ear that separate us from God's love, from His mercy, from His grace to change, and the grace that He gives us to heal. So if you're tired of that inner critic in your life, if you're ready to leave behind that small voice in your head that whispers things like, this'll never change, it'll never be better than this, why bother even trying, you can't do this, or that you don't deserve to be respected, accepted, loved, forgiven, healed, or made whole, let us help you fast from falsehood this Lent. Let's work together and support each other as we give up the lies the enemy is using to hold us back from the life God wants us to have. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And of course, every day on the program, we look at our topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body.
You know, Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. But what does that mean? It means learning to listen to the voice of God calling out of the darkness of the world so that we can live in His light. The theology of the body can help us do this by reminding us who we really are in God's eyes. The world tells us that we are all just what we are. Like, we should just believe that we should be sad and anxious and broken because we're sinful people. And that's all that we should be, that person we see when we look in the mirror. But that is not who God sees when He looks at us. God looks at us through the eyes of a loving Father.
And yes, just like a loving Father, He sees our pain and He sees our flaws. But in His eyes, those things don't define us. They're simply the wounds that God wants to heal. When God, our loving Father, looks at us, He sees the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people that He created us to be. And He wants us to lean into that vision and live as if that was the vision that is true. anything we hear in our head that holds us back from living that vision, from drawing closer to the Lord, is not a consolation from God. It's a desolation from the enemy. And it doesn't matter whose voice the enemy is using, even if it's your own voice, it's still the enemy's voice. Anything we hear that holds us back from living that vision is the enemy pulling us away from becoming that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person that we were meant to be. Our job is to live in what the theology of the body refers to as a state of receptivity. That is, to cultivate the mindset that allows us to reject the lies of the world and discern what God is saying to us at all times, so that we can learn to live in the truth that will set us free to live the life God wants for us. 877-573-7825 is the number to call if you are ready to live in that truth that will set you free this Lent and give up the lies that Satan uses to hold us back from the life God wants us to live. 877-573-7825.
And whoever's voice that inner critic is, whether you can identify it, whether you think it's just you, whether it's coming from a message that was sent to you by your parents, you know, as we're talking about the theology of the body, a lot of us hear that God is a loving father, and we have no magnetic north for that because we had parents who weren't the image of God for us or didn't even try to be. And so we don't know if we can trust God. We don't know how to hear his voice clearly without it going through the filter of people who let us down. If you're struggling in some way to hear God's voice, to feel his healing in your life, to know what next steps you should take to get through this and to claim who you are as a child of God, or to even know what the next steps in your life are because you don't know what he wants for you, give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we ask you for the grace that we need to fast from falsehood, to reject the lies the enemy whispers in our spiritual ear. Those lies that tell us we can never change, that things will never get better, that we can't do what you ask us to do, and that we don't deserve to be respected or accepted or loved or forgiven or healed or made whole. We ask you, Lord, to help us to hear your voice and to receive your grace, that we might be able to live in the truth that sets us free, to live in the truth that allows us to draw closer to you, to receive your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, your grace, and to become everything you created us to be, so that we might live lives that bear witness to your glory in all that we do. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And today on More to Life, we are talking about overcoming the voice of that inner critic that holds us back on our Lentil Health series, where we're asking you to give up those lies for Lent and fast from falsehood. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi there. I found out probably 4 years ago, when I was 40 years old, that my father had apparently been living a double life my entire life.
And what does that mean, Susan?
We found out that he apparently was struggling with his gender and his identity, and that he told us that he is transgender. So where we thought he was going to work, he was off, he was going to work, but also just giving in to his temptations dressing up and doing things to help with his pretty much his addiction. Mm-hmm. He had a separate mailing address, and you know, we just as children we thought we were living with a decent holy Catholic family. Had no idea until I was 40 years old, and then found out basically that he had been doing a series of exposures to young children, different people around our town, and just completely dumbfounded to find this out. He had a felony.
So let me. I'm sorry. I just want to ask you. So in addition to his coming out as transgendered, he was also engaging in pedophile behavior. Is that what you're saying? Exposing himself to children.
Engaging in what?
In pedophilic behavior, where he was exposing himself to children and the.
Yes, children, adults, just different.
All right.
Different scenarios where he had been arrested.
Illegal
so
behavior.
He was actually arrested for all this and has
Thank
a felony
you.
Against him. Okay.
Yeah.
And so right now you're trying to deal with all this, and it also says on our board that you're very concerned about him being around your children. So where are you at with this, and how can we help you today?
Well, you know, as far as the commandments go, to honor your father and mother, you know, I feel that he is an older man. He's in his 80s. So I don't know how to approach this. He's had a lot of psychological evaluations, and, you know, we don't know if there's some dementia or something, but I honestly have kept my whole family apart from him for about 4 years, and I think it just eats at my own conscience and, you know, my own spirituality to wonder, you know, it makes me feel really guilty because I've kind of stepped back, and it's mainly because I don't know how to process it. I don't know, I don't want to be around him at all. Mm-hmm. And it's just a disappointment of thinking.
Do you have any relationship with him at this point?
I do not, no.
So you don't see him even
mother.
Yourself, right?
No, I don't. I don't talk to him at all. I don't know how to deal
okay.
with it.
All right, Susan, thank you so much for the call, and I'm so sorry that you're going through this.
This
it's just tragic on so many different levels and really painful to talk about. So I appreciate your courage in calling the program. So the most serious issue here out of all the different issues you describe is the fact that he does have felony charges against him or has been arrested for exposing himself and being inappropriate with minors on top of everything else. You know, this is a very deeply wounded and confused man. And, you know, when you say the Bible tells us to honor our father and mother, honoring our father and mother does not mean putting up with or tolerating everything that they do or saying that anything they do is okay, or even saying that I have to force myself to have a relationship with a parent who is unhealthy. Honoring someone is a kind of loving. Right? To honor someone is a part of loving them. And part of loving somebody, well, the essence of loving somebody, is working for their good, helping them to become the person that God created them to be. And sometimes loving somebody, working for their good, means having to separate from them, for instance, because they are too difficult or dangerous to be around, or because we are an occasion of sin for them. For instance, let's say that, you know, if I'm in a relationship with somebody who is verbally abusive, and every time I'm around them, they can't control themselves, they just lose it, and they get angry and they lash out at me. You know, I am an occasion of sin for them. That for those people who aren't listeners who aren't familiar with that phrase, as Catholics, we're not just called to avoid sin, we're called to avoid the occasion of sin. It's like if you're an addict, you know, you're not just called to avoid drinking, you're called to avoid going to the bar, right? Mm-hmm. Because the temptation is too great. And if I am in a relationship with somebody and my relationship is a temptation for them in some way, then perhaps the most loving thing I can do is to remove myself from that situation. And that may be that's certainly true about keeping your children away from your father. And it may be true for you as well. You know, because sometimes it's not safe to be around somebody because of what they bring out in us. You know, so for example, if I can't be around you without having to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together again because I'm so upset and so torn up and so worked up, and I don't know how to be around you without it kind of wrecking my life for the rest of the day, then you're not a safe person for me to be around. And when I can pray about that, I can give it to God and say, Lord, help me to know how to respond to these feelings. Help me to know how to heal these wounds. Help me to know what you want me to do with this relationship, and lead me and guide me. But I can't force it, and I can't pretend that it's not true. So honoring your father in this case does not mean pretending that everything's okay when it's not. He's a deeply wounded person who has hurt a lot of people in the course of his life and is hurting deeply himself, so much so that he can't really necessarily control what he does. And if you're saying that at this point in his life he may even have dementia, then that means that he has even less control over himself than he ever had. And so while I encourage you to continue to pray about the relationship, right, and ask God to heal your wounds and to help you to be stronger in the face of all of this, I want to support you in maintaining this distance for now. And certainly keeping your children from him because of his history abusing children, and not to feel guilty about that. That is not just something that is appropriate to do. It's, you have a moral obligation to protect yourself and your children from somebody who would potentially be very dangerous to be around. And I think that at this point he is still emotionally and physically, emotionally and psychologically dangerous to be around. So, as I said, please continue to pray that God would heal these wounds inside of you and help you to know how to respond to the pain that you're in a way that will glorify God, work for the good of everybody involved, and help you be your best self. But please don't feel guilty for now for setting these boundaries, because they're incredibly important. That's all the time we've got for the call, but Susan, thank you. And if there's more that we can do to support you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the program. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We've got to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls, and we'll be talking with Jacob Popchak about our Fasting from Falsehood campaign.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, we're helping you fast from falsehood as we continue our Lenten health campaign. Joining us right now, Jacob Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as an author and illustrator. His latest book is God the Father and the Best Day Ever. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
So as we continue our Lenten health campaign, where we're fasting from the lies that Satan whispers to separate us from God and the life that God wants us to have, where should we be in this journey, and what suggestions do you have for those of us who are struggling with that idea?
Well, part of the reason I think we tend to struggle with some of our goals both in and outside of Lent is because we tend as human beings to be so terribly narrow in regards to our definition of those goals. I talk to clients all the time who struggle with, for instance, matching their idea of what a good mother is or what a good husband is, et cetera, and so forth. But they don't think to stop and actually ask God, what kind of mother do you want me to be? What kind of husband do you want me to be? And the Gospels for this Sunday in the second week of Lent really illustrate that too. Abraham and Peter in the first reading of Gospels respectively, you know, really meeting their particular goals. For Abraham, it was to be a father of nations. To Peter, it was to accompany the Messiah, to really be expanded and, to use the language of the Gospel, transfigured. And so what I really encourage you to do this week as we kind of look at those goals for Lent is to really see how God is trying to expand your perhaps narrow definition of what those goals might be.
And if we're struggling, you know, to bring those things to God and say, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this struggle, instead of merely beating up on ourselves for the fact that we are struggling? Jacob, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com. Or check out your website at artsoulandmind.com. And we are continuing to take your calls, ladies and gentlemen, about fasting from falsehoods this Lent, as we all learn to overcome the lies our inner critic whispers in our spiritual ear and attempt to separate us from God's love, from mercy, and the life God wants us to live. Give us a call. Let's talk it out when we come back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well. Even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I never cease to wonder at, is it this Jesus, Son of God, came born in a stable, escapes from a king. When his whole life he's kind of hunted down by the jealousy and the ambition of the scribes and Pharisees and the king. And he speaks and heals to the people. He raises the dead and exorcises the demons. Nobody's grateful. He does all that. He continues to do all of that. And we still don't understand how much he loves us. Isn't that odd?
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly. And most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are
the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're talking about Lentil health today on More to Life. Not the beans, actually Lent, like mental health, but for Lent.
Using your Lent to improve your mental and spiritual health so that you can come out of Lent closer to God, hearing His voice and His guidance, feeling more in love with Him, knowing He loves you, and having your mental health move toward what God wants it to be for you so that you can be that shining light of Him in the world.
And what does that mean? Well, it means learning to fast from falsehood, to give up the lies that the enemy whispers in our spiritual ear that separate us, or at least attempt to separate us, from God's love, His grace, and the life God wants us to live. You know that voice very often as the inner critic. And the world tells us that that's just a psychological thing, that it's just our voice, or it's just the voice of those other people who have told us things. But that's not what it is. That is the voice of the enemy, whispering in your spiritual ear, trying to separate you from God's love, His grace, His mercy, and the life He wants you to live. Let us help you learn to fast from those lies this Lent, and start living in the truth that will set you free. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hey, Mara. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello, Dr. Popchak. Well, I'm calling in really quick to ask you a question, just in general.
Okay.
If you could address a list of criteria to discern between the voice of God, our own voice, and the voice of the devil when it comes to doing holy and permissible things.
Okay. And is there something specific that you're trying to figure out, or just you went to some general?
Yes, sure. I'm putting myself on blast a little
bit. That's all right. Okay.
So I'm trying to discern between different guys that I might be possible marriage material, and like some of they're all good, but like which one? You know, like some of them are like unavailable in varying extent, in varying degrees, and some of them are just like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you discern that?
Okay. All right. So I'm going to walk you through some just general ideas of discernment. I'm going to plug you into some resources at the end of the call. But when you're talking about this kind of discernment, okay, and by the way, everything we're talking about in this whole Lentil health series and this whole idea of fasting from falsehood is drawn primarily from the writings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and his discernment of spirits practices, okay? And so there's a lot to get into there. But when you're talking about, you know, trying to discern between, say, two good things, St. Ignatius talks about the God revealing His will to us a bit like the sunrise comes up in the morning. You know, when you wake up in the morning, it's still dark. You might see a little bit of light on the horizon, but you're not sure what that is, you know. And then you have to sort of sit with it a little bit longer. And as you watch, the sun comes up and the dawn breaks, and suddenly you just see the light, right? Well, that's the metaphor he uses for the way God works when we're trying to discern between two good things. Sometimes St. Ignatius said that God, you know, does whap us upside the head with the truth, like He did with St. Paul, right? But that's usually in those times where we couldn't possibly know what the right thing to do was on our own. You know, we many people have those kind of knocked off your horse experiences, but if you talk to them about it, it's usually because there was really no way they could have known that God wanted them to do that. It was just so out there for them that they couldn't have figured it out for themselves. They just got kind of hit with that, right? So that's the first kind of way of discernment. The second way, though, that St. Ignatius talks about is when there are kind of two goods that we could choose from. You know, and we pray about it, and we seek information, and we talk to people we consider to be spiritually mature mentors, and we kind of you know, work through that process of understanding what God is calling us to. And as we pray about that, the sun comes up and we start to suddenly say, ah, this is the way to go. We have this sort of sense that this is the way God wants us to move. Now, beyond that, I want to offer some general principles here. Obviously, God is never going to ask us to do anything that is contrary to the Gospels, contrary to the commandments, or contrary to the teachings of the church. So even if our feelings are telling us, that's what God wants you to do, you know, God has been having a conversation with his people for 4,000 years. You know, the Jews for 2,000 years, and then since Christ came, another 2,000 years from there. He's been revealing himself and his will to us in this conversation with humanity for over 4,000 years. He's not going to suddenly say, you know what, all that stuff I've been saying for 4,000 years, it doesn't matter to you. you're the one exception, okay? So God's never going to ask you to do anything that contradicts that conversation he's been having for 4,000 years with all of us about the commandments, about doctrine, and those sorts of things, all right? So that's one thing that you want to keep in mind. The other thing, though, on a more positive note, God is always going to ask us to do things that lead to greater meaningfulness, greater intimacy, and greater virtue in our lives. Meaningfulness refers to using our gifts and talents in ways that bless us but also enable us to be a blessing to others. Intimacy means that God is always calling us into deeper and healthier communion with us and other people. Sometimes that means setting boundaries with unhealthy people, and other times that means, you know, working to make that relationship stronger or healthier if that person is open to that. And then virtue refers to God always calling us to use whatever life throws at us as an opportunity to become stronger, healthier, godlier, more graceful people. So in this discernment that you're having when you're saying, you know, I'm trying to figure out who God might want me to marry, you know, what I would ask you to do is ask yourself in your prayer time to really help, ask God to help you figure out which of these relationships gives you the clearest path toward a more meaningful, truly intimate, and virtuous life. You know, when you say some of the guys are less available than others, what that means is those guys aren't as capable of intimacy as the other guys.
Maybe real heart and soul intimacy, a real companionship that will last your lifetime, that you can know that you can get through anything together because you talk about it, you care about each other's feelings on things, you want to help each other be the best possible people you can be. That's where real intimacy comes from. On top of that, you want a guy who's intimate enough or comfortable with intimacy enough that you can pray together. Because if you're not praying together in a Christian marriage, you're not both discerning where God wants to lead you. So that's going to be a very important thing in your discernment process.
So as you take all this to prayer and reflect on all these ideas that we've thrown out here this morning, you know, just really prayerfully reflect on which of the men that you're interested in gives you that greatest potential for a meaningful and truly intimate and truly virtuous life with Christ. To kind of build on these themes, a couple of resources. Our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, is all about discernment and learning to hear God's voice and identifying what is he calling you to in that next chapter of your life, especially if you're feeling confused or you've been disappointed. Again, the name of that book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which you can pick up at CatholicCounselors.com. I also recommend anything that Father Timothy Gallagher has written on. He's really an expert on Ignatian spirituality and the rules of discernment and discernment of spirits. He has many, many books on the topics. Anything he's written, I just encourage you to pick it up because it's really great stuff that builds on these themes that we've talked about on the program today. But Mara, hopefully this will at least give you a place to get started with that discernment process and help clarify what you've been trying to discern. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to call us here on the program. All right, 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about fasting from falsehood, giving up the lies for Lent that the enemy whispers in our spiritual ear, that we often experience as that inner critic that tries to separate us from God, from God's grace and mercy, and the life God wants us to live. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Anna. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Well, I definitely had the call when you were talking about how we, you know, tend to hear those voices that, you know, tell us that, you know, we're not getting anywhere, you know, mm-hmm. you're just not going to ever get better, you know, but I'm also, you know, have been discerning, you know, what it is that God is wanting. But, of course, I've been waiting 16 months for my husband, who, you know, had wanted a divorce, to go ahead and, you know, have that fall the way he wants it. And I don't want a divorce, but, of course, you know, I have tried to, again, pray, and I know that, you know, whatever is in, you know, it's all in God's hands, and he's the one in control. But just yesterday, you know, here I am again. I thought I'm doing better. I go, you know, weeks with doing great. But every time I tend to send him a bill or something, I keep wanting to save his soul, and so I start telling him things. And yesterday, I guess I didn't send it, thank goodness, but I was basically journaling and wanting to tell him, you know, well, if you would stop sinning and you would maybe fast during this time, maybe God would give you what you want, you know. But I didn't send it. I just have this, you know, I felt this horribleness of, okay, I shouldn't have written all those things or thought those things of, you know, well, if you would quit, you know, living with this woman and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, right? I mean, it's, he's, you know, that's part of the problem here. It's obvious that he's not living the life that God wants for him. He's hurt
right.
you. I don't know if you have children, but
right.
if you do, he's hurt them. You
well,
know,
they're
he's,
all adults, but they still are
but
hurt.
Still, of course, you know, so he's doing a lot of damage. So let me ask, what can we do to help you at this particular point in your journey? Is there a specific part of this that's particularly hard to deal with, or yeah, where can we help
you?
Well,
that's what it is. I just feel like I keep falling in that trap that, you know, the demons that are trying to make me feel like I haven't moved forward and that I'm not listening, or that I'm not going to, I mean,
how would you know if you were
down.
Listening to God in all this, though? Like when you say, you know, you're having a hard time knowing, you know, what's the voice of the enemy and what's God, you know, how would you know if you were listening to God's voice as opposed to the enemy?
Well, I do daily mass. I am in a discernment class for the last year and a half. I mean, I know that, you know.
No, but I mean, practically speaking, you know, like in this situation, what do you think God's asking you to do?
Well, that's the bottom line. That's where I'm needing your help, because I feel like the God that I know, you know, wanted us to keep our covenant, and, you know, and for me to, you know, you know, he wants us to stay married, right? In order to you know, have the family life that I thought we were going to have.
But then, he also can't make you do it by yourself. That's the thing that's
right.
important to keep
and
in
then
mind.
I right. know that he may be pulling me away from the sinful person that has been living two lives for probably off and on most of our marriage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he wanted a girlfriend and a wife and a family, and now that he thinks the family's grown and gone, okay, now I can jump out and, you know, seek the life he thought or thinks he want, you know, would make him happier.
Sure.
But that's where I'm stuck. I'm stuck in, you know, why do I keep telling myself, oh, you're just a mess, you know, that's probably why he left you, and, you know, thank goodness you didn't send that to him because he'd really think you're crazy.
Mm.
And, you know, I keep hearing the doubts, the
sure.
lack of confidence, the
and,
lack
Anna,
of, yeah, but God is holding you in your hands, you know.
Are you getting any kind of, like, professional help in terms of either spiritual direction or counseling at this point?
Yes, I've been going to a therapist for over a year, because this has been 16 months, and I've been going since even before the separation. Yeah.
So let me give you some thoughts on kind of how to, you know, sort all this confusion out, okay? When you're dealing with these sorts of mixed feelings and all this, you know, and all this, you know, kind of frustration, confusion, guilt, all that, anytime we experience what would be considered sort of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he'll say on the one hand, hey, Greg, you know, you really kind of messed that up, okay? He's not gonna lie to me and tell me that I did something good that was when it was bad, right? He's gonna be honest with me, the Holy Spirit is, about, you know, what I've done to hurt Lisa or to, you know, whatever, upset somebody that was wrong that I did. But that's gonna be immediately followed with a consolation, a sort of sense of, and this is what I want you to do to make it right. You know, I want you to lean on me, Greg, and let me show you step by step how to address this wound, how to address this offense, how to heal this, and how to draw closer to me. So he might call me to confession. He might call me to apologize. He might call me to do, but it's going to have a a clear effect, right? On the other hand, what the enemy wants me to do is spend myself trying to do things that are not within my power to do, or fix things that are not within my power to fix.
Or to get very caught up in the grief of the what if I coulds, or I wish I coulds, or if I could only change this person in this way, which is very much what you were writing on.
You didn't want your husband to cheat on you. You didn't want your husband to be living a double life, as you said, since probably the day you were married. You didn't want your husband to betray his marriage vows. You didn't ask for any of this. Right? You didn't cause this. Right? And you know, he has been a narcissist who hasn't been concerned with you or God or his children this whole time. And now he's acting on that because he feels like he suddenly can. But you didn't want any of this. You didn't ask for any of this. It certainly didn't cause it. And even if you weren't a perfect person, because that's what, you know, Satan will say, well, you know, does that mean, you know, you weren't perfect? You've got problems too. But you know what? There are healthy ways to deal with that. You know, every couple has problems. Every husband and wife has broken parts of themselves. You know, it's just the way we are as sinful people. But that's okay. You know, in a healthy relationship, there are ways to work through that. You go to your spouse and you say, you know, what you're doing is really hurting me or frustrating me or upsetting me. Can we work on that together? And hopefully they'll say yes, and you work through it. You know, that's what marital grace is all about. He didn't choose to take advantage of any of that. So even if even if you're not perfect, and I know you're not, even if, you know, you could have done this better or that differently, or you shouldn't have done this or that, there are healthy ways to work through that. And God was giving him the option to choose those ways, and he refused God at every turn to engage you in a forthright, virtuous, healthy discussion that enabled the two of you, that would have enabled the two of you to work through those problems or heal those wounds inside of his heart or help him overcome those challenges that he was facing with you, whatever. So the point is, you know, you're not to blame for this because there were healthy ways to respond even if you did something and he didn't take them. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to focus on separating out the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation here. Forgiveness is something that you can give yourself. It means surrendering your desire to hurt him for having hurt you. That's how St. Augustine defined forgiveness. It doesn't mean saying that everything's okay. It doesn't mean pretending that you're not hurt. It doesn't mean even giving up being angry, because anger is a legitimate response to an injustice, and you're experiencing an ongoing injustice here. So it's okay to be angry, and it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be frustrated. That's all normal and healthy. There'd be something wrong with you if you weren't. But you can still forgive him in the sense of not wanting to hurt him or have him be hurt for the things that he's done, which is going to take some time. And I want you to pray about that. What you can't do, though, is force a reconciliation. Because guess what? God can't even do that. He can't do that unless we let him. And your husband isn't letting him. And you can't do what God can't even do.
What you can do, though, is start to take those messages that you're getting about, if only he would fast, maybe he would have this awakening and he would return to God and therefore to you and to your marriage, and say, Lord, I can't do anything but give him over to you at this point. You know that. You know that I want all of this change. But tell me what's one small thing I can do today to become the woman that you want me to be in all the other areas of my life, and so that I can hand him over to you with hope that you'll fix him, with openness to a reconciliation if he ever has that epiphany. But who do you want me to be today? How can I serve you? How can I serve and love other people in my life? How can I heal this by doing one small thing today? So you're turning down the sound on that inner critic, on Satan saying, well, if you just ponder on this enough, if you just write about it enough, if you just sweat about it enough, it'll change. Now you're saying, I'm not going to listen to you, Satan. I'm going to listen to God. God, what do you want me to do in the next 5 minutes, in the next hour, to focus on you and become the woman you want me to be?
This will get you started. We do talk more about this whole process in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discerning God's voice, especially in the face of disappointment and sadness and hardship. Again, it's The Life God Wants You to Have. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com if you'd like to build on the comments that we've made. But I think these suggestions will certainly get you started. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program again, Anna. We've added you to our prayer list, and we hope that God will give you his peace and consolation through this really challenging time in your life. 877-573-7825. We've got to go to break, but when we come back, more with your questions about fasting from falsehood and giving up the lies that Satan uses to tear us away from God. And as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians 10:5.
We destroy arguments and every pretension raising itself against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ.
That's what we're doing here today on More to Life as we learn to fast from falsehood. We are asking for God's grace to come against those lies that the enemy whispers in our spiritual ear to set up against the knowledge of God. Let us help you do that at 877-573-7825. More of your calls when we come back after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current health care plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic health care solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal health care advocate. Contact them today at MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about fasting from falsehood in our ongoing Lentil Health series. We talk about using this time of Lent to come against the lies that separate us from God's mercy, love, and grace, and the life that He wants us to have. We've only got about a minute and a half, and but I want to sort of address one point that I think all of our calls touched on, and the calls that we are not able to get to today are touching on as well. And that is, you know, how do we tell the difference between God's voice, the enemy's voice, and quote unquote our voice?
Mm-hmm. And it can get very confusing, especially when we're emotionally wrought in some way.
So I want to lead with the idea that there's no such thing as our voice, per se.
Our internal critic that we're talking about.
It's not us. All right. Even if the voice is inside of us, it's because we listened to something out there that either came from the Holy Spirit or came from the enemy. Right? Every voice, every impulse, every desire, every feeling, every movement of the Spirit, as Ignatius of Loyola put it, you know, it's not our voice. It was we're either hearing it from God or the enemy, or we internalized it from God or the enemy. And so we have to, as the scripture that we went out to the break on says, we have to hold every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So whether it's inside of you or outside of you, or you think it's your voice or your mom's voice or your gym teacher's voice or your boyfriend's voice or your husband's, or whatever, it doesn't matter. If that voice, that impulse, that desire pushes you closer to God in some way or helps you be more of the person God's calling you to be, that's God's voice. You should follow that. On the other hand, if you hear another voice doesn't matter whether you think it's your voice or anybody else's voice or whatever, that's pulling you away from God or making it hard for you to be the person God's calling you to be. It is the voice of the enemy. If a voice is pushing you toward meaningfulness, intimacy, or virtue, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. You should follow that. If the voice is pushing you toward powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, or self-indulgence, those things are not listed among the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, boys and girls. That is the voice of the enemy pulling you away from God's grace. We talk more about all of this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have. You can check that out at CatholicCounselors.com. But knowing the difference will enable you to live in the truth that will set you free to live the life that God wants for you. Have a blessed day, folks.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.